This is the Sue Freeze Show, talking about life, relationships, and achieving.
It's not a big deal. Let it wash all the bugs off my windshield. Cause you're showing me that in you I'm free. And you're still the refuge that I've just got to get to. And ooh, there's something about the way your sun shines on my face. It's a love so true I can never get enough of you. This feeling can't be wrong. I'm about to get my worship on. Take me away. It's a beautiful day.
Here's your host, Sue Freeze.
You know, the season right now is the thankful season, but, you know, in the Bible, it talks about being thankful in all things. And so we need to be thankful for all things. And I'm very thankful to be with you right here, right now. And, you know, the weather is very interesting, isn't it? It's just very interesting weather. It's warm and it's windy. And I'm sorry that I'm nasally right now, but the winds kind of make me have allergies. So I apologize up front if I sound kind of nasally today. I know I'm hearing myself right now, and it sounds nasally to me, so I apologize up front. Anyway, today we're going to be talking about, again, I'm following through on this book of Wisdom for Crisis Times, Master Keys for Success in Times of Change by Mike Murdoch. And the last time that I reviewed a chapter in his book, we were talking about our careers, our jobs. And, you know, it was really good. I personally got something out of it because, you know, before I get started, I always pray and I ask the Holy Spirit to be present and that, that, you know, it be his words, not my words, that come through the microphone and into your ears. And Lord, and I just ask the Lord to just guide the words, the thoughts, and I ask for him to find favor in your ears, Lord, that it not only just focuses on what's being said and that maybe it triggers something in you, but it triggers it so much that it causes you to act, not just listen, but that you actually do something different. A while ago, about a month or two ago, maybe even longer, I was thinking that whenever something happens in business or in personal life, that there has to be motion. And being a dancer, I was thinking about it from a dancer's perspective, is that you can stand in one place, and even though we're breathing, that is motion. It's very slight motion, right? But whenever we want something to happen, we have to take a step. We have to even change the center of our bodies to move forward or move back. And when you are working through this journey of life, there has to be motion in what we do, because we sometimes can isolate ourselves and cause ourselves to be stifled to where we're standing still or we're not moving because we're afraid that if we move in any direction, it could cause us heartache or pain of some kind. So we choose not to move. We're just kind of stuck. And I don't know about you, but I've been stuck. I've been stuck quite often in different situations, and I had to move through it. And the Lord allows us to be stuck because it gives us a chance to regroup. It gives us a chance to evaluate what's happening, how we're feeling, what we're thinking, and why. And then we can move forward from that. So today we're continuing on, and it starts in this book about the five reasons you may be unhappy with your present job. Because how many of you are unhappy with your current situation? And whether it's your personal relationships or it's a job, a lot of the same things, the parallels happen. So if you are happy with your job but unhappy in your personal life, then don't turn the channel, because I guarantee you there's something to be said here that might help you get unstuck. Because we don't want to stay stuck. We can't do God's work if we stay stuck. Say that three times fast. You're listening to The Sue Freeze Show on our flagship station, KKLA 99.5. And thank you so much. San Diegans all the way up. Ventura is listening now, and all the way up to Santa Maria. And thank you so much for all of you for listening. Different times, different days sometimes. But thank you so much for listening. And if you know somebody that might benefit, hopefully that's true, share the show with them, would you? And what you can do is you can tell them to go to SueFreeze, spelt like fries, oneword.com. And when you go there, you can connect with me, which I hope you do. I love the people that have connected with me and the stories that are being shared with me. And, you know, even the pain, you know, asking for prayer. I read every single one that comes to me. and I pray. And also there's been times where I have resources. You know, I have people. I might not be the person that can help, but I know somebody that can. And so what I do is I connect the dots. I connect people with ministry. I connect, you know, where I need to connect. And since I have the availability to do that, I don't know, it just feels really good to me. It really does feel good to me that I can help on in some way. So moving forward, 5 reasons you may be unhappy with your present job. Newly discovered disadvantages that you had previously overlooked. I don't know how long you've been in your current job or in your personal relationship, but you know, either way, we start out with certain expectations or certain thoughts, and then something changes and the pros become cons, or maybe we didn't realize that this con existed. So now we're taking a new inventory to find out where we're at in the situation. A need for variety or change that your present job does not provide. You know, maybe you've evolved. Maybe you've been there a long time. Maybe there's something new that you want to be added to your life to where it brings you more spontaneity or more challenge. Maybe you're not challenged enough in your current situation. Oh, dear. 3, a lack of challenge in your present position. How funny. I'm getting ahead of myself. Unhappiness in your home life that is causing burnout or emotional overload. Personality conflicts with fellow employees. You know, on a side note with that, you know, I have an office staff now, a call center of 12 people. They happen to be all, right now, women. And, you know, one of the issues that we are facing is, you know, there's different personalities in that one big room. And everybody has job responsibilities, and not everybody is, like, if somebody's absent, somebody else has to pick up the slack. And what if somebody leaves and somebody doesn't pick up the slack? Maybe they don't know how to do that or whatnot. So we're trying to create this culture of teamwork. We're trying to create this culture that if somebody's gone, we don't skip a beat. We keep going forward. And one thing that I said to one of my employees, and they might be listening, actually two of my employees, is that they do the work of 3 people. There's 2 that I'm thinking of right now that do the work of 3 people. The problem is they have difficulty communicating positively things that need to get fixed or errors that need to be corrected. Their manner in which they're trying to get what they want is not being received well. So what I suggested to them is to really focus on how to create team, how to motivate people, which is a real gift, isn't it? It's a real gift to motivate people, to get them to want to work, to be on your team and want to work. And part of it is, you know, explaining the expectations from all areas, everybody knowing what they need to do, how they need to do it, why. The why is important too, why they need to do it. So personally, I just dealt with this myself this morning. And yesterday I had purchased a whole bunch of candied apples. And I thought, I want to give these candied apples to my call center, each person in the call center, because I want to just tell them thank you. And the apple, I say apple a day keeps the doctor away. I heard that somewhere. And, you know, it is fruit, so yes, but it is candied, so it's really good. And so I gave each one an apple, and they were all covered with different things, candied apples like mud pie or caramel or chocolate or, you know, peanuts, whatever. They were so good. And I wanted to just add a little something extra, and so I put a little note on there. And I said this, and I'm not exactly, I don't have it in front of me. I typed it up and put it on each apple, and it was a paragraph. But what I basically said was, the seeds in this apple represent the seeds that we pass along, meaning that we need to plant seeds wherever we are. You know, those seeds are there because we need to plant them. So we all have something to gain, but we also have something to give. And so I asked every single person if they would think about and look for and pray for opportunities to plant seeds. So instead of pointing out errors, pointing out the faults, pointing out the negatives, we need to look at the good report, right? We need to look and find the good in other people. And when we do that, there's going to be more cooperation. There's going to be more consistency in, you know, everybody knows the goal and they're going to shoot for the mark and they're going to make it because we're all understanding what the mission, what the vision is, and we're all working towards the same thing. So, you know, we each have gifts that God gave us. We each have seeds. We have an assignment and we have seeds that we need to plant. So look for opportunities. Ask the Lord to reveal those opportunities to each one of us for those people around us so that we can give forward. We can pay it forward. So reading from the book, it says, you must recognize the reasons you are unhappy with your job. This will help you to prevent devastating mistakes in your future. learn from your past, right? That's true in personal. It's true in business, is we learn from where we've come from. We learn from it, hopefully, so we don't make the same mistakes over and over and over again. That's crazy, isn't it? Remember, your job is one of the most important parts of your life. One third of your life is spent asleep. At least another one third is spent on your job. Think about that. I am sure you agree that it is really too important to ignore. Now let's consider how you can unleash the four forces that can guarantee success in your career. Are you ready for that? I know I am. Now let's consider four forces that guarantee career success. Are you ready? Here's the one. The force of appearance. But the Lord said, man looketh on the outward appearance. How important is that? I can tell you it's very important. It's so important. I used to be a color analysis person, and I used to do makeovers for people. Politicians would call me and ask me, what should I wear for my political photo? And I would tell them what they should wear. Colors have a lot to do with it. Also, you know, what type of style you wear, how much skin is revealed. All of these things matter depending on the setting in which, or the judgment, or the what you want to portray. So you need to be thinking about that. There's been studies that have been done, you know, because when I went to school, this was a long time ago, we weren't allowed to wear pants. Can you believe that? It was that long ago. But we couldn't wear pants to school. And man, it was cold. And I wore knee socks all the time because my legs were so cold all the time. Now people wear whatever they want to school, sometimes more showing than it's covered. And I don't think that's appropriate. And what the study showed was that people actually do better in school as a student or in the workplace if they dress professionally. If they dress the part, they act more the part. And I can tell you, when I go into my closet and I'm feeling sassy, I wear sassy clothes. And when I'm feeling down, I try to wear happy colors, but sometimes I'll wear black because I'm feeling down. But we can change our mood based on what we wear also. So it's important to understand colors and understand, I used to say this to people all the time, you don't get a second chance to make a first good impression. And that is so true. You don't. You walk into somewhere and people are judging you. They don't even mean to. I know I do it. I don't mean to. But we just do an assessment, don't we? Just check yourself. You know you do. Don't say you don't, because I know you do. But we do it without even thinking. It's not even a thought process. And the other day I was listening to KKLA. Love the station, along with the fish. And I was listening to KKLA and there was a lady on there and she was talking that she was blind. And that, you know, being blind is that she doesn't have to overcome the issue of judging how a person looks because she doesn't have the ability to see. And I was thinking about that and I was thinking, wow. And she was thankful that she could not pass judgment because she could not see, that she had to learn, she had to really get to know somebody. She heard their voice and she could tell a lot just by the tone in which they spoke. You know, think about that. It's pretty amazing, isn't it? Sometimes our eyes can get in our way if we think about it. And anyway, so judgment, okay? It's talking about that. Most of us realize that we should not judge others by their appearance alone. However, the way you dress and groom yourself is a message to others. You are a walking message system. It is just human nature to judge other people by the way they look. The Bible has some fascinating observations. Proverbs 7:10 speaks of the attire of a harlot. She dressed to communicate her desires and intentions. Proverbs 31 speaks of the virtuous woman who was clothed in silk and purple. And purple is a color of royalty. So in this book, he has wisdom keys. So we're on wisdom key 66. People see what you are before they hear what you are. Do you agree with that? Sometimes you can walk in a room and people won't like you just because of what you're wearing. So before you go to a party, before you're going into a business meeting, if you want to be received and you want to be liked, you need to think about that when you're getting dressed. You really do need to think about that. That's something that I learned not early on. I learned that later in life, that you know, you have to really think about the other people in the room. You need to think about how you're going to be received in any setting. Some scriptures that go along with this are, a gift opens the way and ushers the giver into the presence of the great. Proverbs 18:16. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. James 1:17. Clothing covers 90% of your body, so package yourself to create a climate of acceptance with prospective employers. Isn't that good? the force of aptitude, a man's gift maketh room for him and bringeth him before great men. Proverbs 18:16. Every good and perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights. James 1:17. So how do you do this aptitude thing? What do you do to help yourself? Attend seminars. Anytime you have seminars, you know, you should attend them if you can. Yes, it is a sacrifice of time, but it's well spent. You know, just do a little research, figure out, you know, if it's something that really could benefit you, and go there. And you know, with the webinars now, which this book was probably written before webinars were even existing, you can go on webinars, which you don't even have to leave your office or your home, and you can watch webinars. Increase your knowledge. We should always be striving to learn more each day. Each and every day we should be doing that. Browse a local bookstore for books relating to your career. Subscribe to magazines and periodicals. Consult others in your field of interest. Do not hesitate to secure a list of their favorite or most helpful books that they have read over the years. That's really wonderful. I belong to a group, and it's a business group, entrepreneurs, and we meet once a month. Convene is the name of the group, and they love it when I mention them. And it's based on Bible principles, biblical principles. And so whenever we're, you know, expressing or explaining an issue that we are facing, because there's common denominators in any business when you're dealing with people and you're dealing with money and profit margins and things like that. You know, we might be in different businesses, but, you know, a lot of the issues are the same. Might have a different name on them, but they're the same. So when we're discussing it, we always, in the process, we ask lots of questions to start out, and then we go to what does the Bible say? We go into biblical principles, we find out what the Bible says about this to glean, you know, insight on, you know, what would Jesus do, right? And then from there, then we go to solutions. We go into figuring out, well, what would you do? What would you do? What would you do? And it really helps out to do that. So when you're... we talk about books that we're currently involved in. So each person will bring something that they're reading or something that they're dealing with right now. And then we share that because it makes it helpful when we can all learn from one another also. Wisdom Key 67, your worth to your boss is determined by the problems you solve for him. They always say him. Why is that? Or her. I always have to put or her in there. And, you know, that is so true. The people that solve problems, when I say, oh my goodness, what are we going to do in the situation? And somebody says, it's already completed, it's already done, I've already solved it. I just take a breath and go, oh my goodness. The people that sell and the people that problem solve are the people that make the most money in any organization. I'm a problem solver. In fact, today I just saved the company. I just walked out the door and my bookkeeper said, do you realize you just saved the company $1,500 today? And I went, I did. And she goes, yes, because of this, this. And I'm like, oh my goodness, you're right. And I'm like, that felt really good. You know, that felt really good. And it's just a matter of diving in and figuring out, you know, what are my options and whatnot. And it feels really good to be able to save the company money. You are listening to the Sue Free Show on our flagship station, KKLA. And so that's nice. Your salary usually depends on your responsibilities. When you increase your productivity, your salary will usually rise to that level of effectiveness. It has been estimated that 84% of workers demand constant supervision to assure the completion of their tasks and work. Another 14% must have some supervision. Only 2% of the workers of America will work and complete their tasks and responsibilities without any supervision whatsoever. They are self-motivated. They are achievers. They are the highest paid. This is true in my organization. It truly is true. And there's some people that are so clear and they know what they need to get done and they do it. My bookkeeper, for one, she's been with me for 14 years and she revolves her vacation and her time off around payroll. She will not leave if payroll needs to be done because somebody else can't do the job. So she, you know, she lives her life around payroll. And how wonderful that is for me. I don't have to worry that payroll is going to get done, because I know that my bookkeeper is going to take care of it, and I don't have to worry about it. It's a very nice feeling to have that there for me. And then I've got my managers, and my managers are responsible to take care of certain departments, and they're responsible for the profit margins and the issues that come up. And if they have a problem, they have a glitch, and they need someone higher, then they come to me. But on the whole, I want them to handle their department, and it's a really good thing. The more knowledge they have, the more they're worth. I tell every single employee that works for me from the start gate, you know, the more information you gain, the more knowledge you have, the more valuable you are to me. So gain the knowledge. I said, act like a sponge, absorb every day. And that's what they try to do. And nobody forces themselves as far as to train another human being. So you have to just get in there and try to get the training that you need. And I tell everybody, you know, force yourself. You know, you need to get that training. So get it. And the sooner you get it, the better. The force of attitude. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling and singleness of your heart, as unto Christ. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. That's Ephesians 6, 5 and 6. You know, I don't need mouth service. I don't want my employees to give me mouth service. I don't want them to say one thing to me and then say something else somewhere else. Okay, so I want people to be true, honest, have full integrity, and do their work. I'm seeing this as a boss because those of you that are looking at your job and wondering what you can do, right now there's someone out there that needs to hear this, is that if you have an issue with your boss, if you have an issue with a company you're working for, you owe it to yourself and you owe it to your employer to go forward and speak. I always say, talk about things that matter with people who care and go to the person that can actually do something about it. Don't go to your coworker and complain about certain situations because that person can't do anything about it. And all you're doing is spreading gossip, rumor, or negativity. What you need to do is go to the person that can do something about it. And then you give your employer a chance, an opportunity to make things better for everybody in the organization. And so that's what you need to do. And that's just from me to you. I know somebody needed to hear that, and probably more than one. It's an important thing. Your attitude toward life, your work, and people can cause you to rise to the top of your company or stay where you are. Your primary attitude should be that of a servant. Whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. This is the true spirit of Christ, that of a servant. Learn to respect your employer in the Lord. You see, God is in authority over your boss. You actually are working for God. I'm accountable to God for the people that work for me. I'm accountable. I'm accountable for my decisions. I'm accountable on how I treat them. I'm accountable, all right? So the people that work for me, they're accountable too. And that old saying, you know, people don't do what's expected, they do what's inspected. And it's too bad I don't have more than 2% just doing what they need to do and getting it done. It's too bad that I have to have managers over everybody managing them, because it would be really nice and we could get so much more done if everybody would just do what they were supposed to do. But that's just not the way it is. But those that are that way, it's a wonderful thing. We will be back with more of the Sue Freeze Show right after this brief break.
Hi, Sue Freeze, the termite lady here. It's been my privilege to serve my community for 32 years as owner of Ecola Termite and Pest Control. Family is one of the most important things in my life, so you can imagine my panic when my little boy, Tyson, stopped breathing for the first time when he was 2 years old. It was the most terrifying thing I'd ever experienced. In an instant, Tyson had become a statistic. 1 in 8 children in California who suffers from life-threatening asthma. Those of you who listen to my radio show understand that I'm not a victim. I'm a mover, I'm a doer, and I'm a believer. And so I did what I had to do. I set out to find out why Tyson was suffering those horrific asthma attacks, and the journey was powerful and illuminating. I learned so much about how asthma attacks can be prevented, how you can make your home a healthier, happier environment, and how you can emerge from challenging situations like this even stronger and more powerful than you ever could imagine. I've shared my family's story in my new book, Learning to Breathe, available now on my website, www.suefreeze.com. If you or someone you love suffers from asthma, this is a book you must read. Please order your copy today. And for more information about effective alternatives to traditional pest control, please call us at Ecola 800-332-2847. We'd love to help you take care of your home and your family too. Learning to Breathe, available now at SueFreeze.com.
They're called the stealth bugs of the insect world, termites, every homeowner's nightmare. But a lot of KKLA listeners don't lose a moment of sleep over termites because of Ecola Termite and Pest Control. They are California's leading ecological alternative termite control company. You see, Ecola gets rid of termites by using family-friendly, poison-free alternatives like Electrogun that seeks out and eliminates the little rascals, microwave process for small areas, and their new Ecola Heat using clean, hot air for entire walls. No embarrassing circus tent over your home. No poison gas, no bagging your food, or moving out for a couple of days. Ecola Termite and Pest Control gets rid of termites effectively and quickly. So, call Ecola at 877-332-BUGS, 877-332-BUGS. Ecola, powerful termite and pest control as gentle as a butterfly. Ask about their two-year warranty. Call 877-332-BUGS. You're listening to The Sue Free Show.
Thank you so much, Ecola Services. And, you know, listen, if you know somebody or if you are a business owner and you want to advertise on my show, there are spots available for you to advertise. All you need to do is go to SueFree, spelt like fries, one word, .com, and connect with me there, and we can give you a price schedule and figure out how you fit in. We have this show is now syndicated, which is amazing to me, and it goes all the way from San Diego to San Luis Obispo. It's different stations, different times, and if you are in San Diego and you want to advertise just to San Diego, you can do that. If you want to advertise just in Ventura, you can do that. If you want to advertise in Orange County, LA, guess what? You can do that. If you want to advertise in Santa Barbara, Santa Maria, you can do that. I love that. You can do that. Yes, it's good. So get in contact with me and let's see what we can do together. How about that? And if you are a business that is like-minded, we would love to partner with you, and you can contact me and find out more about that. It's pretty exciting, actually. But we're going into the same homes. We're talking to the same people. And why not, you know, share that information and help and serve? You know, I lead by example, and I have no trouble cleaning the toilet, vacuuming, emptying trash. I do it quite frequently. Why? Because I want people to see that I'm not above anything. I will do whatever's necessary to get the job done, and that's the attitude I want. When I'm advertising, which I'm always hiring, so if you need a job, you know, I'm all for it. Come on board. You need to fill out an application on the termitelady.com site or ecolatermite.com site, same site, just whatever you can remember. And go on there, and there's an application on there. Fill it out, send it in, and we're always looking. But what I say is I can train skill, but I cannot train attitude, and we want the best attitudes working for us. We're going and we're meeting people every single day, and my employees love my customers. My customers are from KKLA, The Fish, from KPRZ, KDAR, from KUHL. They're from these stations, and there's a trust built. And so when we advertise, it's so nice because people are relying on us, and why not be part of that? So just come on board with us, and we can make this happen together, okay? Thank you for that little commercial. So Wisdom Key 68, you will only be remembered for two things, the problems you solve or ones you create. I've been doing this business for over 35 years in the pest and termite business, and what I've told my employees over all of these years is, if you come to me with a problem, have a solution. It might not be the right solution. It might not be the only solution. Usually there's more than one solution to any problem. But show me that you've thought it through. Show me that you've given it some effort. Don't just throw all your problems on me. My shoulders are not that broad. And I want everybody to use their brains. They were given one. So why not? Let's think together. And everybody comes from a different perspective and position. And so it's really important for us to put our heads together, right? To come up with the best opportunity plan, the solving of the problem. What's the best one? What are we trying to make happen? And what's the best way to get there? So we go through this process together, and it's really a wonderful thing. Use criticism to your advantage. In fact, get on the positive side of it. Ask your boss for suggestions and correction. Poverty and shame shall be to him that refuseth instruction. But he that regardeth reproof shall be honored. Proverbs 13:18. I use the NIV version, and the NIV version is whoever disregards discipline comes to poverty and shame, but whoever heeds correction is honored. See, I like that. That hits me right where I am. Proverbs 13:18. So that's two different versions of the same scripture. A person finds joy in giving an apt reply, and how good is a timely word. Now, this is another thing that I brought up today. I had a lady come into my office today, and she's really good as far as getting jobs done. But as far as getting people to want to jump on the train with her and work towards her, is they feel like she is always looking for the mistakes, the errors. And nobody likes to live under the person that's always looking for fault. They want to be around somebody that says, wow, good work, right? Don't you? I know I do. I want someone to look and find something good, right? And so in management, it says to praise in public and criticize in private. So I brought her into my office and I spent a half hour with her, and I was explaining this process and saying, you're really good in this, 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 and this, but this area right here we need to focus on and we need to get you better. Would you like to go to a training? And she said, yes, I would love that. And I said, okay, I'll do that. But in the meantime, I need you to be focused on positive seeds. I want you to plant positive seeds in our office. I want you to see what you can do personally to create an environment of want-tos instead of want to get out of here as soon as possible. Want-tos. I want to help. I want to do. I want to be a servant. I want to make it happen. That's the attitude we want. We want to create this culture, right? So asking your boss for suggestions and corrections, you know, you don't know if you don't ask, right? I say that all the time. I taught my children that early on, is you don't know if you don't ask. And sometimes we're afraid to ask. You know, salespeople, they'll be in front of the customer, and who better than us to take care of the service, to take care of termites and pest control? Who better than us? There is nobody better than Ecola to take care of the termite and pest control problem. I know that. I have passion. Can you tell? So I know that we are the best out there, and I know we can take care of the customer the best, okay? So when my inspectors are out there, and they're doing the inspection for free, and we're doing everything we're supposed to do, and then they don't ask, when would you like to have it done? Are there any other questions we can answer for you? They don't ask. You know, ask not, have not. You know, ask and you shall receive. It says it in the Bible. We don't know if we don't ask. Both of my children, both 32 and 29 now, that's a message they got from mom a long time ago. Two messages I have. One was, you were created for a purpose. I can't wait to find out what God's going to do with your life. I'm very excited to see that unfold, that book unfold. And the second one is, you don't know if you don't ask. And what's the worst that could happen? Seriously, think about it. What's the worst that could happen? You ask for something, and what can somebody do? They can say no. Did that hurt a whole lot? Come on. And you know what they say in sales? For every no, you're that much closer to a yes. Isn't that true? So if you're job hunting, every time a door is shut, right, you're that much closer to a better job, a better career. But take the time to focus on what your gifts are and find a job that is appropriate so you'll be happy in your job. Give praise and encouragement when appropriate. Isn't that so true? We need to do that. Do not flatter others to get ahead. Now, see, this is not okay, is it? Okay. Avoid giving undeserved praise. And that's so true. A flattering mouth worketh ruin, Proverbs 26:28. So, you know, we don't want to do that either. Be real, okay? Don't be fake. Okay, we can see right through fakeness, can't we? Do not become a complainer or murmurer on your job. It is true that the squeaky wheel gets the grease, but as my father often says, it is also the first one that gets replaced. How much trouble is this person worth? Think about it, okay? Sometimes, you know, you have people that just cause more trouble than they're worth. And even though they have all these good qualities over here, too much time and effort's being spent in the negative world. So what do we do with that? We need to release ourselves of this because they'll be happier, we'll be happier. You're listening to the Sue Free Show on our flagship station, KKLA 99.5. And we are talking about how we can get the most out of our careers and our jobs. And maybe we need to do a reassessment. Maybe that's what we need to do right now. Wisdom Key 69, God will never advance you beyond your last act of disobedience. A couple of scriptures that come to mind, a lying tongue hates those it hurts, and a flattering mouth works ruins. Proverbs 26:28, whoever rebukes a person will in the end gain favor rather than one who has a flattering tongue. Proverbs 28:23. So I started to do Wisdom Key 69, but I wanted to get those two scriptures in there because I think they're really important. So Wisdom Key 69, like a city whose walls are broken through is a person who lacks self-control. A quick-tempered person does foolish things, and the one who devises evil schemes is hated. Both of those are Proverbs. You know, if you don't know the Bible and you want someplace to go to get direction, go to Proverbs. There's 31 of them, and each one is like a day because there's 31 days in a month, at least most months. So go to Proverbs, and you know, you just get a little tiny bit there, but it's enough to you can actually digest that for an entire day. And if you memorize all of Proverbs, man, you're doing really good, really good. God will never advance you beyond your last act of obedience. What does that mean exactly? Harness anger and control your spirit. Do not make weak excuses when you resent doing something you have been asked to do. Does that resonate with anyone? Is that you? Do you do that? Key 70, someone is always observing you. Who is capable of greatly blessing you? What does that mean exactly? Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you and will rescue you, declares the Lord. Whoever conceals their sins does not prosper, but the one who confesses and renounces them finds mercy. Anyone who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with their own hands, that they may have something to share with those in need, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. It's Ephesians 5:16. Do not be a time thief. I'm going to stop there for a second. Be honest about your mistakes was one of them, right? And be honest about your mistakes. Just admit when you've done something wrong, okay? It's not that hard. You might wonder what's going to happen when you admit it, but admit it. I have a gentleman working for me right now that he's been doing inspections on a house, and we have some issues. And so I asked him, I said, you know, how long have these issues been here? And so we're working through the process to find out what happened. And, you know, he was very honest and upfront. And he, you know, he came clean and said what he needed to say. And so now we're working through what we're going to do next. But, you know, he had a choice. He could have done something different. He could have said something different. He could have pointed a finger in another direction. But he owned up. And he said, yep, I made a mistake here. And so now we're working on how we can correct the issue. And that's a good place because we learn from it, right? Do not be a time thief. Overtime, time and a half, you know, these types of things. You know, my employees, I'm growing. My Ecola is growing. And we have 68 employees now. Oh, my goodness. And with that comes time issues and overtime issues. And we're looking at this going, why is my overtime going so high? What is going on? And I know who the people are that come in on time and they leave on time. And I see who's just wandering around, really not doing much of anything. But I'll ask them, are you on the clock? Are you off the clock? And, you know, I know who these people are, at least the ones that are current in my office. Okay. And then we have timesheets and we have route sheets and we look at this and we have a meter on our truck. So we know where our guys are and we know how much time they spend and all of these things. It's too bad I have to spend money on all of this equipment. It's too bad that not everybody can just be honest, right? But even the slightest thing, taking rubber bands, taking paper clips, taking pens when you haven't been given them, you know, if there are things that you're giving away, then fine, that's one thing. But what about using the Xerox machine without asking permission? What about, you know, I mean, you can get really looking at every little thing. All of these things cost money. If your break is 10 minutes and you take 15, and then when you come back from your break, you decide, oh, I have to go to the bathroom. You know, you're cheating the company, aren't you? You have two 10-minute breaks in an 8-hour period and you got an hour lunch. So with that, you know, your restroom break should be during your break. It's just, you know, is it that hard? You know, we have uniform companies. And we have a uniform company that washes. We buy the uniforms. We wash the uniforms. We press the uniforms. And we deliver the uniforms. And my guys, sometimes I will see them, they'll come in and they're not dressed. And they clock in and I'll say, shouldn't you be ready to work? Shouldn't you be in your uniform before you clock in? And they'll go, oh, yeah. And I'll go, wow, I buy your uniform, I wash your uniform, do I really need to pay for you to get dressed too? And that might sound silly, and you guys that are employees, you might go, oh, brother, you know? But I'm thinking, wow, everything is a time, labor, material cost. And then, you know, employees, they want bonuses and they want raises. But if everybody takes an extra 10 minutes that really should be on the phone or doing some productive work, and they take that thinking it's no big deal, those things kind of shave away those extras. It shaves away that extra. And so we need to be cognizant of that. We need to be thinking about that. And we're not all business owners, but we all need to be thinking about how we can be the best servant and be honest and doing everything upright and right. Learn to demonstrate your appreciation to others frequently and in creative ways. Send telegrams, flowers, handwritten notes. Vocalize your compliments. Everyone around you treasures recognition of their worth. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Refuse to gossip and spread rumors. Do not spread garbage. Speak not evil one of another. He that covereth a transgression seeketh love, but he that repeateth a matter separateth very friends. Isn't that good? I love that. So backing up, demonstrate appreciation. You know, I like to hug. I'm a hugger. And so people sometimes are uncomfortable in business settings, especially. They're used to sticking that hand out, right? And I'm like, go right past the hand and I'm giving them a hug. And it's like, oh, hug, you know? And I'm thinking to myself, you know what? We don't get enough hugs. I'm sorry, but we don't get enough hugs. We don't get enough thank yous. We don't give enough appreciation and we don't get enough appreciation. So all of you out there, you need to do more of this, okay? Give thanks, Be appreciative. Be thankful for what you have. Even if you're going through a tough time, there's a lot we have. Count it. Count what you have. That is good. And think about these things. Focus on these things, because you know what? That brings you out of a negative world. And we need to be doing that. All of us need to do that. I'm going to take a break right now. I'm going to read out of my book, because we're getting down to the wire here, and I want to get this in. This is from my Jesus Calling, Enjoying Peace in His Presence by Sarah Young, that I read most always. Here's what Jesus says. Thank me frequently as you journey through today. This practice makes it possible to pray without ceasing, as the Apostle Paul taught. If you are serious about learning to pray continually, the best approach is to thank me in every situation. These thankful prayers provide a solid foundation on which you can build all your other prayers. Moreover, a grateful attitude makes it easier for you to communicate with me. When your mind is occupied with thanking me, you have no time for worrying or complaining. If you practice thankfulness consistently, negative thought patterns will gradually grow weaker and weaker. Draw near to me with a grateful heart, and my presence will fill you with joy and peace. I don't know about you, but I want joy and peace. Do you want joy and peace? He's just telling you here how to get it. That's how you get it, is by being thankful. Thankful for your current job, even if it's not the right job. Be thankful that you have one. Okay, be thankful you have a job. And if you don't have a job, be thankful that you're working and the Lord's working through and you're learning more about you every day. You will find the right job. That's the focus. Scriptures that go along with this. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. James 4:8. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Romans 15:13. Are you aware of the Holy Spirit? Do you really feel his presence? You know, I don't always feel the presence of the Holy Spirit. I don't always feel that presence around me. And it's usually when I'm not in sync. I don't know if you get what I'm putting down here. But truly, there are times when I'm not praying, or I'm not thinking about what he would do, or I'm in my own world and I've got the wheel instead of Jesus. And it's when I get out of myself, when I get out of myself and realize he is truly in control. And I ask, there's that word ask again, 3-letter word, it has so much power. But when I ask him to guide me and to show me and to be in control, when I ask the Holy Spirit to come in and be walking alongside me and in me, be inside me, and I can feel his presence, it's not always there. But when I ask and I want it there, he does come and I feel him. And there's an empowerment that comes with that. It's a strength that only the Holy Spirit can give you. It's an empowerment that only the Holy Spirit can give you. And not all of you know what I'm talking about right now. Not all of you are experiencing this. And I wish that for each and every one of you, and I pray for each one of you to be at one with the Holy Spirit, that he's right there with you, and that he can see you through a tough time. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, contact me. Go to Sue Freeze, spelled like fries, oneword.com. And I'll tell you some stories. I'll tell you about how this happens, and I'll pray with you. I'll do what's necessary, because I want you to feel this. There is nothing like it in the whole wide world. There truly isn't. And like I said, you know, sometimes I'm like, why am I not there all the time? What is the matter with me? Am I nuts? Because, you know, why don't we want to be there all the time? Because things are going well. It's okay. I'll just take it over right now. It's okay. I've got this one, right? That's what goes through my vocabulary that's inside my head. It's not real verbal, but it's there. And I take action. You know, sometimes it's not really the right thing to do. And I'm just being honest with you right now, which I'm always honest. I like the honesty. I like being honest, and I like to be vulnerable and transparent with you. And you know what? I have found that when I do this, it helps other people feel more comfortable to where they can be real with you back. Sometimes we can have such a wall of protection around us because of our own hurts and our own pains that we don't allow people in. And we can sabotage a relationship just because we're afraid of being hurt. I mean, that was big right there. And that I don't know where that came from. That totally was from the Holy Spirit. And I love when that happens. Because I feel that there's people right on the verge, if they're not tearing up right now, because they know exactly, they're feeling exactly what I'm talking about. And I can tell you right now, I've been there, and I know what that feels like. And I can tell you also that he meets you right where you are. You don't have to change a thing. He'll be right there with you. So who is the someone that's observing you? Who is the someone? Look around you. No matter where you are, no matter what you're doing, there is somebody watching you. And it's not always a child. It could be another married couple. It could be a single woman who's going through a tough time but not letting anybody know. You know, it could be somebody that doesn't even know what they're going to do for the holidays, all by themselves. Oh, so sad. Be swift to listen carefully to every instruction from your boss. Here's one I have written up on my wall at work. People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care about them. I have that on my Facebook too. It's one of my favorite quotes because it's so true. You know, I don't care how much you know. Don't try to, you know, swallow me up with all of your intelligence, because I really don't care about your head, because I want your heart. I want the heart. On this show, I tell people that come on my show, I want people, I want listeners, I want you to hear the heart of the person that's on the mic. You know, it's not about head knowledge to me. Not that we don't gain wisdom. I'm not talking about wisdom here. I'm just talking about the heart. Because the heart changes things. You know, when we get into the heart of matters, it changes things. And that's what I want. I want all of us to change for the better, to glorify Christ. Wisdom Key 71, your assignment is to solve an existing problem in someone's life. Wow, that's mine. I want to help you. And the Lord wants me to help you, and the Lord wants to help you, and he wants to meet you right where you are. Learn everything possible about your job. Give attendance to reading. Study. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth. There are times in our workplace that we have decisions to make, choices to make. Not all of them are equal, and we can be tempted in ways that cannot be fruitful. So we need to be aware that people are watching, number one, and that we need to know what God wants us to do. The wise prevail through great power, and those who have knowledge muster their strength. Surely you need guidance to wage war, and victory is won through many advisors. What is that saying? Definitely you need many advisors. You know, if you don't know what to do in a situation, go to people that you respect, that you trust, that can give you good counsel. And the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but must be kind to everyone, able to teach, not resentful. That is so good, and that's kind of what I was saying about the person that is very productive. So until next week, can you do me a favor and be a blessing to someone each and every day? Look for opportunities. Look for your assignment. Until next week, God bless you.
You've been listening to The Sue Freeze Show, sponsored by Ecola Termite and Pest Control Services.
It's that time of the year when bugs multiply like crazy and start looking for a home, your home. Ants, spiders, fleas, earwigs, termites, and a lot of other creepy crawly critters, even rats and other varmints. It's time to call Ecola Termite and Pest Control Services. They offer complete ecological pest control of rodents and insects. Ecola has one-time services, ongoing monthly services, their most popular and economical every other month service, and even quarterly service for occasional pest problems. Ecola keeps rats and mice out and eliminates insects in their nests. It's the most effective way, and their termite control is legendary. So call Ecola today for a free estimate of complete pest control at 877-332-BUGS. No more creepy crawly critters like ants, spiders, fleas, earwigs, termites, rats, and other pests. Call them at 877-332-BUGS. 877-332-BUGS. Ecola, powerful pest control services, as gentle as a butterfly. Ask about their 2-year warranty. Call 877-332-BUGS.